Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good evening.
Whoa! And I'll just kick over the mic stand while I'm at it. Yep, and I'm on the air. That's good. I couldn't see the program either. Too many screens on this computer. It's a fun, wonderful system. I have to give great kudos to the Ubuntu team. Ubuntu is a free operating system, which you can download from ubuntu.org. And you download a big file and you turn it, burn it onto a DVD or a CD and stick it in your computer, and it will very politely sit alongside your Windows systems, but probably be about five times faster. All the software on it is free, and it's written by other people. It's not a corporate thing. It's not made for profit. It's made for sharing. Yes, like Quality 3. Hang on a second, I've got that. So Ubuntu is a marvellous piece of software, and you're actually listening to a system. I'm using the Ubuntu Studio system, which is like a separate download, but it's even faster. It's really kind of stripped down. It doesn't have anything unnecessary in it. And it goes like a rocket. You can even run it on an old computer, and it will very happily do audio and video and stuff like that. It's not brilliant for gaming, but there are groups of people who are running the Windows games on these Ubuntu systems. But to be honest, I don't really care much about games, but they do drive the computer industry a little bit to extract the greatest performance out of things. So gamers have their place, and people who write games are also pushing the boundaries on virtual reality systems. So we'll see how that develops in the years to come. And I'm sure there's a lot that's already been created and then drawn into the military programs and all of that bad stuff. So let's look just a minute. Look behind me to see if my guest is actually going to appear today. If not, I'm very happy to take questions, and I'm very happy to explain anything about the Seven Rays that you might want to know about. If you've got Skype, you can call into me, and we can talk about whatever you like. In fact, I'll just pop a little question into my guest's chat room. If she's not there, well, there we go. All right. Okay. Right. Okay, yeah, so the guest who I asked isn't going to be coming on. So, if you're interested in... there we go. We have the first question appearing in the chat room. And good timing there. So, a message from Catherine in the south of Scotland is, do certain foods resonate with particular rays? And that is a really good question, because, well... I mean, one of the things that I have, it's like having a kind of book of aphorisms and like a book of proverbs. And when I'm down, I like to eat red food because it makes me feel happier, and then I feel happier after eating food. that is red. And presumably, if you want to eat something that makes you feel healthy, you eat something green. Now, you might think I'm just referring, you know, it's just the colour. But in the esoteric world, the colour of something is very important. And unlike the man-made world where everything is painted, so you can have something inside, but on the outside it's a particular colour, means that it's not reflecting its inner world. Whereas a plant or something like that, there will always be different shades of green that are expressing different energies from this being, from this plant. And all the different expressions are all, they're kind of in the same key, if they were playing in a band, for instance, because they're all harmonious with each other. So all the colours of nature you will find are harmonious, because the expression in the physical world, and what I mean by that is like the form of it, the shape of it, is in tune with its colour. And the colour of something is in tune with its cycles of growth, what time of year it starts, what vibrations it responds to, what colour the flowers become, what colour the leaves are. Now, a lot of that is to do with the energy of chlorophyll, which is obviously, that's the green stuff that we see. And when the green goes away, you see the browns coming in and the life going away. So yeah, the life of the vegetable world is the green, and then of course with our own expression as human beings, we express in a kind of red zone. You know, meat is generally shades of red and various energies of red. Obviously fish and meat and poultry and all those things all have the energy of blood behind them, which gives them the red colour. And of course, behind the colour of blood is the colour of iron oxide. It was very interesting to hear Shari talking about oxygen yesterday being the the antidote to illness, really, and her simple little breath exercise, which will give you more oxygen and reset your brain and your ability to think and your whole body. It resets it, puts it back, and puts it back into the center. De-switching, as they call it. So we've got the there we have, you know, you're talking about there's the green foods and then there's the red foods. So what other foods do we have? Well, there's the white foods, and some people shy away from white foods, refined wheat and sugar and all of those things, because they have no nutritional value. So does white food mean that it's no good? Well, egg whites are great, so there's nothing wrong with the whipped up egg white. I'm just struggling a bit for looking at different colours. I'm sure there's food that are colours of all the rainbow. Really, if you're looking for a solution to a problem in your kind of in your day-to-day vibrations, you could look at the colours of the foods that you're eating, and just to observe. What colour food am I eating? What am I putting into my body? Do I resonate with these colours? Can I alter the chemistry of my food so that the colours that come out are more conducive to the way I want to live and want to be and how I want to be healthy? I suppose that's the way we can look at that. So that was so to go back to the point. Do certain foods resonate with particular rays? Yes, of course, because the food groups and the quality of the food groups, you've got your carbohydrates and your proteins and your fibers and all of those different makeups. And, you know, most food is a combination of the three. That's what we do. when we want to eat a balanced meal, because we have too much proteins and we get some problems, and we have too much sugars and carbohydrates, we get other problems. So we need to make them all balanced. Tends to be that the fats are the yummiest bits. Oh, yeah, starting talking about food. Tracy and I were talking about food, ain't it? And she was she gets the best voice print from Shari's software when reading her shopping list. So that, I suppose just to kind of carry on from that a bit, Tracy, is that when you were reading it, when you're talking about food, is food is your fuel. It's like if you drive a diesel car, you don't want to put petrol in the petrol tank. You have to put the appropriate appropriate fuel in. And I suppose that's what we really need to do is understand that our body is just like our car. if you were to look at my car, certainly now, you'd see the way I feel. I had an issue the other week where my bonnet flipped up and smashed into the windscreen and tore a lot, and the bonnet ended up very, very folded. And I had to literally jump up and down on it to get it back into shape. And so so it's all kind of creased and barely put together. But it actually does lock properly, and it won't flip up again. It's just very ugly looking. So back on point. Yeah, it's always good to talk. Of course, do ask more questions in the chat room if there's anybody there. Yes, there are people there. Speak to me, people. Hello. it's a largely freestyle show tonight. As I said, I was going to have a guest, but not like a lot of the times that I do these shows. When I don't get a guest, it means that I have to there's things that I have to do and information perhaps that I need to put out, and I'm here willing to serve the need and give out as much as I can. I might talk. I was shared some information the other day that I might go on about later, and that's about military bases. That's quite interesting. Meanwhile, back on food, my favourite subject is yes, there's got to be foods that resonate with different chakras, and I suppose that's probably the way you look at it. You have foods that associate with your physical body. There'll be foods that will resonate on an emotional level as well. They may contain very psychoactive ingredients. You know, some certain kinds of mushrooms and food have an effect on the mental body or on the higher emotions and things like that. And that brings us right into the realm of psychopharmacology. It would be interesting to discuss these high-level chemicals, these very, very subtle keys which fit into our neural locks and turn it on and turn off different aspects of our being. That's fascinating. And that's somebody I know who, if she did feel like to calling in, it would be a very interesting subject to discuss, and how the rays and psychopharmacology interact. Very interesting. If anybody's out there who may have recently been reading stuff about psychopharmacology. And So back with the back on topic. Let's try and keep to that topic of foods resonating with rays. So I think I'm out of the color aspect. So basically, what I'm saying is that a natural thing that naturally grows will its proportions and its size and its color and its whole energy will be determined by its own particular vibration. which of course will be in a particular ray. And there I'm talking about plants, and then you're talking about food. So the difference between a plant and a food is that it's not poisonous. yes, to have foods that feed certain parts of you. Now, one of the things that I was always told is that if you have a craving for a food, that your body is creating that craving. Now, one kind of craving is created by the bacteria en masse inside your body. And so if you've got an overwhelming excess of stuff like yeast or candida or things like that, that they will create a craving for the food that feeds them, and that they become, a force in your body. It's like having an invading force saying, right, okay, instead of all this good corn that you're going to grow, let's grow sugar beets, let's destroy the rest of the world. And that's what candida does. It causes your body to want to eat toast with jam because it's got the carbohydrate and the sugar content of it. And one of the they're brewing inside your body, and so when you have sugary foods and you have candida, then these little microorganisms are basically fermenting and creating alcohol and carbon dioxide in your body, which is the poisonous stuff, which is why when we have a candida related body situation, we don't feel well. Our head is all kind of cloudy. So it's quite a bad infestation, and interestingly enough, apparently it can be cured using baking soda, bicarbonate of soda, sodium bicarbonate, which brings your gut back into a more alkaline situation, and then your body stops eating itself and calms itself down. So that's an interesting thing, but that's nothing. Well, in a way, it's to do with the rays, because everything's to do with the rays. But candida is a very modern disease, as it were, modern condition. I don't know where it comes from. I can't remember that there was a kind of a great candida outbreak, or if people even knew about it at the time. But what I'm saying is that these colonies of microorganisms inside your body create cravings for our body. But your body itself will crave things, and that's, you know, one of the things you hear many stories about. And I'm thinking of a recent friend who said, I just can't get out of the coal bucket. She's pregnant, and she's eating coal. You know, what's that all about? And from what I can understand, again, it's your body. It's saying, I need these minerals, and this is the only place I can find them. Your body has a way of knowing exactly what it needs. And if you look at a cat, you know, a cat will not eat pork. It won't eat things that it knows is not good for it. It can smell it. We can smell things that are bad for us. We can smell poisons. It's just that we're completely blitzed out by all these flashing lights and coloured stripes and sell-by dates and things like that, that we're confused into not seeing, not using our own faculties for telling whether something's poisonous or not. Yes. I'm just reading the chat room there, and Tracy's talking about bicarbonate of soda. This is very, very simple chemical. It's brilliant. I mean, okay, let's talk about bicarbonate of soda. All right, sodium bicarbonate. So that's sodium. Sodium is the very soft element that it has a very low melting point, and if you have it in a little glass tube, you heat it up, and you put electric current, you heat it up to so it's hot as a vapor, and then you put an electric current across it. It glows with this orange light. And that's the street lights that you see. That's how they work. They use sodium. So it's that orange color is sodium stuff. And then it's carbon and oxygen. Amazing. Anyway, so what it does is that bicarbonate, the carbon-oxygen combination, creates an alkaline situation. And it's not a particularly strong alkaline. And it's quite well associated with our bodies. So by taking, some people say, they swear by it. They say, you know, I have a glass of this in a glass of water every day. A teaspoon of this in a glass of water. And one of those things, it's one of those things that you'll get used to tasting. It tastes horrible at first. I believe it works quite well against cancer and against certainly against candida. And basically, our bodies seem to prefer an alkaline environment, and all of our modern food, Agenda 21 sparked poison stroke food that they give us, is intended to make our body acidic and thus make us unhealthy and then thus make us die quicker, so they don't have to deal with us so long. So let's have a quick look at this. And when you're hungry, the level of sugar in your blood drops. And I call that having low blood sugar. That's the interesting thing. Catherine was saying that if she eats something, she feels like she wants to eat something sweet. And that, of course, will cascade vast amounts of sugar into your bloodstream. It's direct sugar. So if you notice what it does to a child, if you give a little child who isn't used to sweets and things a tiny piece of sugar, like one Smartie, you know, one little sort of chocolate bead, for the next hour, they're bouncing around, literally bouncing off the walls, banging into things. They've lost all sense. They've lost because the sugar's gone to their bloodstream, and whatever candida was in the body has turned that sugar into alcohol as well, whatever's left. And so the child is basically rather drunk, and it's addictive, as alcohol is, because you kind of like the feeling. It's the feeling that you get liking, not that sloshy thing. So you get into the sense of having to eat some kind of sweet thing in order to get, because your body knows that if you eat some chocolate, it will get blood sugar very quickly. If you eat something like a sandwich, which has bread, which is a carbohydrate, which is a slow release sugar, that will last your longer until you get that craving again. So let's see what Tracy's saying. So Tracy has got a copy of Nano Voice, and I wonder if we should. I think we'd better do some study on it first to find out how it works and check it out for ourselves before we start inflicting it upon the people. Shari is very she operates the thing very well, and having written the data behind it, she knows how it works and what it all means. So we're going to have a little check with this. And I think it would be quite amazing to create a group of people who know how to use NanoVoice and can give it to people, just give people their frequencies on the air. And we could do a show, you know, once a week where people call in, we run Nano Voice for them, and we as a group discuss it, like a round table discussion. So, where are we? Oh, it's about half an hour. So, I think I'm going to play a tune. I'm going to play some Blue Marten, this fantastic dubstep, and And everybody's going, oh no, not the dubstep. But anyway, yes, you're going to have some dubstep. I think this one has got some Kate Bush in it. And let's see. And welcome back. And I have on the line now Tracy Kennedy of Trace Elements.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Tracy, I haven't even heard your show on Friday. It's been quite an incredible weekend of shows. What was your initial response after you did your show on Friday?
Well, I didn't get the overwhelming negative response I thought I'd get. For anyone who didn't listen, I had a Satanist on, and I actually asked the question, so what do you do for Christmas? I said, you know, everybody celebrates this solar event in one way or another. I said, I'm sure you don't call it Christmas, or do you? So we talked about all kinds of things. I wanted to see where his head was at.
Very interesting.
I asked him about how many goats he had to slaughter for a CPU problem for Dave. Dave sent that question in.
And how many?
Apparently two big goats, like Dave was saying, or a politician would work. Okay with that, too.
A politician. Yeah, they won't be worth very
Dave's
much.
Idea,
you won't get too many of them to the pound.
No. I said, they're not going to be volunteering for this. So it was interesting. I enjoy other people's views, no matter what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
I like it if they get a chance to sit and say it. And this guy's been on George Norrie and has traveled around the world. So, interesting fella.
Interesting.
I don't adhere to all of his beliefs, of course, but I understand some of them, you know, with the Haitian in my background, too. They have a tendency to walk the yellow line, so to speak.
Yeah. The left-hand path, as it's known esoterically.
Well, yeah, and that's what he's doing. Mm. The Haitian people I know, it's more of a middle ground. Almost like in that movie, I just watched it the other day, and it was about an angel. I want to say Cassiopeia, but that's not it. Big movie with Keanu Reeves, and he basically worked for God.
Constantine,
that's the one.
Yes,
excellent. In the movie, there was a bar, and the bar was owned by a Haitian, and both sides were allowed.
Hmm.
Demons and angels were allowed in the bar.
Oh, I like Keanu Reeves movies. Some people say he's like an immortal dude, you know, that he's always like a young guy. It's amazing.
Well,
what people
I was
say.
One of them. I think I went on a thing for her about a week there where I was showing pictures.
Oh, it was you? All right.
it was me freaking out going, I think he may be an immortal. Check this out.
No, look at Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He's definitely a 15-year-old.
yeah, true.
Hey, dude.
Dude, I know. I still look at him and trying to do serious movies, and still say you need to say "dude" at least once.
That's right.
Keep your face going.
Bodacious, most bodacious. So, where were we? We were talking. Oh yeah, we had your guest.
That would
have been a fascinating thing. I was out and playing rock and roll in the snow. Well, not actually in the snow, but there was a lot of snow between here and the rock and roll, let's put it that way. And lots of stairs.
Is it still snowing there?
It stopped snowing yesterday, and thankfully I've managed to put all my guitar equipment away. I don't think I'm going to do any more gigging for the next couple of months. It's pretty
getting a lot of winters this last couple of years, like heavy, heavy winters.
Yeah, proper winters.
More than usual, you find?
Well, it's interesting because this house was built about 100 years ago. Its walls are 18-inch thick stone. It's built for hurricanes and stuff like that. You know, we never see the tiles, what you call shingles, coming off the roof or anything like that. You know, we've got some old barns that are really, really falling apart, and even the tiles don't come off those roofs. These houses are built. So this 150-mile-an-hour wind we had the other day, what was interesting is it came from a different direction from the normal winds here. Because you can tell by the way things have been blown, against which wall things have been blown.
Oh,
so where all the debris gathers. And this time it came up from such a bizarre angle that it rolled over our old empty gas bottle. And that rolled it into an unusual wall that doesn't normally get blown against. So anyway, yes, we've had unusual weather here. And last year, of course, and the year before, I think it was the year before, that we had 18 inches of snow that lasted a couple of weeks, and I was completely cut off. But I really enjoyed it, to be honest. I really enjoyed the solitude and the ability to go within and write some software or just chill and not have anybody disturb me and make me want to go out. I'm such a grumpy old man. Oh, by the way, yesterday I was interviewed by a friend of mine who runs an internet radio show down in Manchester, England. And it was a kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen this television series on the BBC called Grumpy Old Men. Where it's,
yes, I have.
And they talk
you
about
that show.
And I could be easily.
Oh. Stop.
Easily, I'm up there. Rick Wakeman. Do you know Rick Wakeman? He was the keyboard player from Yes, the rock band in the '70s. And you know, it's just like that show, One Foot in the Grave. Do you ever get that?
No.
All right. It's Richard Wilson, and he's. He's a grumpy old man. He's a really grumpy old man. Nothing is right. Everything is wrong, and nothing's perfect. And his catchphrase is, "I don't believe it." He's because it's you know he says it all the time, and it's like real people are real grumpy people, and so I was talking about you know my attitude towards Christmas, which. I pulled him up on his first sentence. He said, "Well, it is Christmas," and I said, "Let me just interrupt you right there. That phrase, 'Well, it is Christmas,' with the emphasis on 'is.' Well, it is Christmas. That really gets my goat. That's the first thing that gets my goat every year. And that moment, the first moment in December when somebody says, 'Well, it is Christmas.'" That's like the spring cuckoo. It's the time when you know, all right, here we go. Here it comes. The big anticlimax, the most stressful time of year because you want to do your normal things and there's all this glitter and tinsel in your way and everything, you know, your normally calm eyes are being stimulated by all these flashing lights that are drawing your attention here, there and everywhere. So you don't focus, you bump into things, you crash, all sorts of accidents happen at Christmas, and then of course you have to drink too much because it's such hell that the only way you can survive it is by getting yourself into a complete state of oblivion. See, that was the first sentence. Well, it is Christmas. That's where I started.
Oh, no.
So, I said, I've only got 15 minutes, and I completely filled his program, I think. So,
with grumpiness.
With grump. I am up there with Mr. Wakeman as Grandfather Grump.
So your feeling on Christmas is bah, bah, humbug, basically.
Let me enjoy my own Christ. And stop drawing my attention away from my inner self. That's my attitude towards Christmas. And it's like, oh, let's. I really have to have a tree. No, you don't. I really have to have a tree. Okay, where do we get a tree? Well, we're in the middle of pine forests here. Why don't we go? Yeah, and actually, I think my ex-wife and my son last year went down the road with a saw, and felled a tree, a little baby tree. Poor little thing. But actually, you know, this is the land where they grow Christmas trees and export them all over the country. So this is like part of the produce of this place where I live here. It's full of pine trees and pine, you know, not proper forests, but plantations. You know, all the trees are in a row and they plant them for 40 years and boom, they're zipped down and turned into sterling board and pine logs and IKEA furniture. What a life.
What a life. I'm close to a place that, well, all around us is pine and spruce, right? So we just go to a local tree farm and pick our tree. When my son was really young, we'd make the whole thing of going in the woods, finding the tree. Now, I don't get one because I have two cats and one of them is just wild and could not stand the little balls hanging.
No,
because I did that the first year and I woke up in the middle of the night to hear ding, 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 crash. So, you know, you only need to hear that sound once, really.
Yeah, exactly. So,
we had a great time.
So tell me this, all right? Apart from the tree that he nailed, that he was nailed to, what has the tree got to do with Jesus? Baby Jesus.
Jesus. I actually am not quite sure there was a cross involved. Like one passage says cross, another one says tree, something says stick.
Mm.
I think the tree has something to do with something completely different, and then we're going back to either Saturn or Jupiter cult again.
Sounds like it. And your fellow on Friday, he was part of that Saturn or Jupiter cult, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And
so when you're talking about the externalization of satanic ritual perhaps everything that we are sort of encouraged to do at Christmas is a satanic ritual rather than a Christian ritual. Discuss.
Pagan. That's what he was saying in general. Now, in his church, they're actually more open-minded than a lot of other religions are about different sects of their own religion. Mm. So they have pagans and Wiccans and various other denominations, I guess, of people that come to their church. And they all have their own little rituals. It seems everyone around the whole planet has something this time of year.
Mm.
One thing or another. And I still think it more has to do with the sun and us being in line with the center of the universe. And occasionally we get Sirius B, which would have been the Christmas star.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of our traditions probably stem from that more than anything else.
Yeah. Hmm.
I was reading something about the tree, and I wish I had this handy, but it apparently has something to do with how Washington was set up again. Washington, the capital.
Hmm. Not Grover, Washington.
Not Grover, Washington.
Excuse me.
And the
You see, the reason I said Grover, Washington is because... Tracy, sorry about that. I'll let you. The reason I said Grover, Washington is because the track that I'm going to play is a track that I recorded last week with my band, and I'm so happy about. It was so good, and it's really appropriate for its exact moment of time. It's a Wilson Pickett song, and then you said Washington. I thought Grover, Washington. Meanwhile, so you said back to serious things.
No.
You were saying something.
You know, we're serious too much. It's almost making my head explode, to be honest. Every day you look, and I don't even turn on the news anymore, because when I turn on Facebook, I get updates of news reports from all over the world from everyone, so you can't run. And everything is insane. And I don't even know why Washington is supposed to be representing a Christmas tree all year long. And the lighting of the candles, that's pretty. I've seen that. That does look pretty. People who do that. I think it's Germans that do that.
Yeah.
Put little candles on there. How it doesn't just go up in flames, I don't know.
Yeah, I never got that. But, apparently people used to die. And that's the way.
Oh, that
was good. Oxford. He was incinerated in a Christmas fire. Oh, old grandfather Hans. Yes.
The first move of global depopulation. Yeah. Here, put these candles on the tree.
That's right. Actually, this could be a very interesting conspiracy theory. Like all Christmas rituals are actually hazardous to human health, and are designed to. Complete Agenda 21, the depopulation program.
Now that you mention it, let's look at some of the...
Let's examine some of our Christmas rituals. Okay, yeah. First of all, the tree with the candles in it. and we all know that fir trees have an oil, or a very oily tree, and resinous tree, which burns as to a vapor. You know, the smell of a pine tree is inflammable. So if you have a lighter near a pine tree, you get these little things. It's a good thing that we don't use eucalyptus trees, though. They're known in Australia as gum trees, and on a hot day, all of the gum evaporates to this very volatile substance, and anybody walking past with a cigarette causes an instant explosion.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it happens a lot in Australia, apparently. You can look up gum tree fire, because they have them in groves, you know. So you can imagine, right? Just imagine a grove of these little kind of bushy trees that have an aura around them, you know, that smells a particular way. You know what eucalyptus smells like.
And
And it's all vapor. Yeah, Vicks Vapor Rub, you know. And you just need a tiny little spark or flame and the whole thing goes up. Huge fire.
Well, that's another one.
That's another one. Okay, so the exploding trees.
Exploding trees, number one.
Okay.
Wrapping. Wrapping the present.
Mm-hmm.
See, I am one that has loved the, let's put them in bags.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put little fancy paper over them and call yourself done.
Yeah.
Because wrapping is hazardous to your health. You cut yourself. You can bind yourself like a mummy with tape.
Yep.
That never attaches to the paper but will only attach to skin and hair.
That's right. And it's, it does not hurt when you pull it off.
Yeah. You're done. And then you have to go to the hospital and you wait in line with sick people. And the time you get in, you're sick. So, you know, that's number two.
That's right. Okay. So certainly hospitals are very hazardous places, particularly at Christmas, because you've got lots of people who have injured themselves because they're drunk.
Yes.
Because everybody drinks. Everybody takes poison.
At least in Canada. Oh, yeah. We're loaded. Apparently, our liquor consumption has gone up by 20%, even though people are not working. Our liquor consumption this year has gone up 20%.
Well, that's...
So we're apparently, you know...
Yeah, soaked. Well, what's the word? Well lubricated.
We're well sodded here.
And here in... this is Scotland, the country where drinking is the national sport and most people's personal hobbies. And...
sports drink as well.
But, yeah, so... So, of course, there you have to, and then, all right, just to add injury to injury, you have to have, you have to be with your in-laws.
All right? Oh, number three.
Number three, relatives.
People that you don't see any other time except if it's a funeral.
Yeah, or it is Christmas.
Or it is Christmas.
Yes.
And then you remember why you don't visit them often.
That's right. And then,
and why it takes more alcohol.
and then you try to get drunk to obliviate the feeling of having to be there, and of course they're getting drunker and drunker and exhibiting more of the traits that you don't like in them in
you
the first
don't
place.
Like to begin with, yep.
So that's a recipe for disaster. Okay, so now cooking after a few drinks. Something, number one, something in Christmas, something in the meal is always like raw because they forgot
and
to put it on.
Something's raw and something's burnt.
Something's burnt.
Hatter in the room said, and Christmas lights falling off roofs.
Oh, yeah.
Population. Yep.
Yeah, multi-population, yes.
That's one. That's another one.
That's right. That's the spirit. Let's get grumpy. Let's get all the grump over with so we can then go walk smiling into the season. Yes.
Yep. Population.
Okay.
Try to hang your Christmas lights outside.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we don't have a Christmas tree inside. We actually have a fir tree in the garden that we string lights out. Now, of course, stringing lights out involves getting mains, voltages, out into the garden, which in a Scottish wet weather is always pretty dangerous. So this year, Nick and I have dug trenches 6 inches deep with gravel and heavy-duty cables just so we can get lights into the Christmas tree. So I'm just trying to think, did I injure myself at all when I did that? Because there's usually some kind of injury with every project. It's part of, you know, you mark the world and the world marks you. Just trying to think. Looking at my hands. No. I think we got away with that. I didn't electrocute myself.
But you always get one person who most likely, as you were saying, has been drinking, who goes up a ladder, who has not gone up a ladder since the year before, and probably should not climb ladders in general.
In general.
And he won't wait for someone else to hold the ladder, so he's going up. Bang!
And of course,
in the
tree.
Yeah. Electrocuted.
Yeah, electrocuted and also spiked.
And spiked. And with broken bones.
Yeah, yeah. Compound injuries.
Compound injuries.
All right, so we're still enjoying Christmas, isn't it? Aren't we? It's the best time of year. We're having a great time. Okay, so
after we're done all this stuff.
Anyway, hang on a second. Here's another thing: cooking, right? Cooking when drunk, or even cooking at any other time.
Cooking in general.
Many years ago, now this must have been back in the 1970s. My sister had made a Christmas dinner, and we all went up to her house, and it was an A&E Christmas. Many people have A&E Christmas. You call it accident. We call it accident and emergency. What do you call it?
I have never heard that term before in my life.
A&E, accident and emergency. What do you call it? The emergency room.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Where you go to
the
ER. Yeah. So so you have an ER Christmas or an A&E Christmas. So an A&E Christmas was she was cooking peas, as you do, normal thing. But what she didn't notice was that her handle was sticking out from the cooker. She went down. She bent down to pick something up, came up, and the peas, boiling water all over her back. Okay.
Oh my God.
Second degree scald. Okay, so she's so eventually, so we all pile out of the thing and we go and eat our sort of overcooked meal, and she's high on morphine. That's probably one of the funniest Christmases we've ever had. No, it wasn't very nice. It was one of these things, a very simple error, but it's a dangerous thing cooking. And it's a dangerous thing cooking under pressure when you know everybody's waiting for the perfect meal. Everybody's got to do this perfect meal. For once in the year, everything has to be perfect, and it never is. It's a crazy ideal. Meanwhile, other dangers. Okay, so what have we got so far? We've got
the tree.
We've got fire.
We've got fire.
We've got scalding water.
We've got the hanging of the lights.
Hanging lights, yep. That's
scalding dangers in the kitchen.
Scalding dangers in the kitchen. All right. So then, of course, we got the
dangerous wrapping too.
The dangerous wrapping. That's right. And that foil stuff that they wrap with, that can be, and oh, glitter, the herpes of craft goods. It gets everywhere.
Yes.
And gentlemen.
Get rid of it.
That's right. Gentlemen, don't cheat on your girlfriend, because you'll probably be cheating on a girl that's covered in glitter.
Especially this time of year.
Especially this time of year. They're covered in glitter. So don't even try it, because you will be coated with a thin layer of glitter. And then your girlfriend will notice.
Because you'll be shiny.
Because you'll be darling, you look all sparkly. Where did you get that sparkle from? Because that's, of course, what happens when it's the office party, and but it doesn't come off. All right, so keep them away. And office parties. Now that's a thing that I haven't done for a long time.
Office parties. That's a danger in itself.
Yeah, I mean, this is worse than family dues, isn't it? The office party, because there's a bit of...
Yeah, because it's people you have to hang out with. Most people spend more time at work than they do at home.
Yeah.
And the fun part about work is you get to get away from them.
Mm.
But once a year, we pretend we're all friends. And here comes the alcohol again.
And there comes the alcohol.
And then you do things that you really regret.
Yeah.
And everyone else remembers.
Yeah. And don't forget, because you're working in a corporate building, all the rooms have cameras in them. All the rooms. Even the ones you try to sneak away to.
So, holiday shopping stampedes.
Yep.
Black Friday.
Oh, yes.
Starts it off, trampled to death, depopulation. Yeah, get us all in a herd.
That's right.
Just to see they knock a few of us out even before the Christmas event starts. Yeah,
that's right. Let them eliminate each other.
Yep.
In their competition.
In their competition to buy more goods that they can't really afford.
That's right. So... Yeah, it's all depopulation. So what else have we got here? Let's go to the Christmas meal. The carving of the turkey.
Yes.
By the father of the house, having had several probably been to the pub with his mates, having to go home, not very happy having to deal with his in-laws, with a knife.
And that's a wonderful situation just to even think of.
Daddy with a knife. Great. And he's drunk. Great. And Jill, who's got the eating disorder, is just sitting next to him. You see, it's all about depopulation.
Ready to run and throw up anyway.
Yeah. It's all about depopulation. So what else have we got? What other rituals do we have at Christmas?
Well, the spending of more money than people have and worrying about getting everyone gifts.
Yeah.
And who did they buy gifts for last year?
Yeah. Who bought me a gift? Do I buy them a gift? And then here's the one.
Regifting.
Yeah. Here's the one is, okay, so because we're poor, we're not going to buy each other gifts, but we'll buy things for the children. So
yes.
The children get bought for, oh, but I bought you this gift. Oh, thanks. I thought we agreed not to. Well, I thought, you know, oh, yeah, it is Christmas. You know.
And people have commit suicide because they knew there's always one person who will buy the gift for you anyway, even though you said you won't do it.
Exactly.
You feel awful.
Christmas is a time for guilt.
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 It is a big Christian Jewish holiday.
Yeah.
We're all about the guilt. That's probably what it really is. Yeah. You know, if you don't die from guilt, you'll be close to it.
Yeah.
By the time it's over.
It keeps your energy low. Yeah, this whole guilt thing. Some people get driven by it, but I don't. It's just like somebody pulls a plug. Try to deflate. So Christmas is a great time for guilt. And so there's the guilt of not having bought a present for the person who buys you the present.
Yes.
And there's the resentment of having to buy a present for somebody that you don't really want to buy a present for, that you have no feelings for.
Yes.
Then what else is there?
What about when you have to decide whether you're going to bring your new boyfriend or girlfriend, as the case may be, home? Do you or do you not bring them home
exactly
for Christmas?
Mm.
Because you're going to lose either way on that one.
Yeah. Oh, combined with Daddy on the carving
combined
knife
with Daddy
and the
and Mommy
and the alcohol.
And the alcohol and all the ants will be talking about you behind your back.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, hasn't he let himself go?
Or grilling them. As soon as you leave them, you come back and they're just, like, engulfed with people asking the question. So, you're getting married and you've been out twice.
Yeah, that's right. No, I just met her on the road.
Yeah, I met her on the way here.
She's got no one. We're snowed in. We've got no one. She's not my girl. Well, you know. Oh, yeah. So, yes. Relationships. Well, I mean, this is one of the reasons that a lot of us are divorced and live alone, because all of that stuff is hazardous to the health. Very, very hazardous.
Depopulation.
What else do we have at Christmas that is dangerous? Let's go to some more traditions.
Okay.
Well, there's, you know.
Well, someone always wants to wrap a puppy up. And you see this poor, pathetic-looking thing peeing all of himself under the tree, knocking stuff over.
Oh, that's mental.
That's mental. And people give gifts as little puppies or little cats. And
yeah.
As soon as they're, you know, no longer a puppy or a kitten, it's like, I don't want them anymore. And then immediately all those poor animals are brought back to the shelter.
Poor little things. And then they have to spend a horrible winter in a cage, in a metal cage.
In a cage, and the kids are all depressed about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one.
That's not a good one. Mm. Yes. Which brings us neatly to the subject of inappropriate gifting.
Yes. Okay.
There's a seam there. I'm sure there's a seam there. You know, one of my in-laws' favorite or standard comments. Whenever they give you a gift, it's, we've left the price tag on it, you can always take it back.
Yes.
You can always exchange it for something else. And of course, you know, my kids are completely, you know, they're so used to this thing, and it's like they find it so appalling, such an appalling attitude towards gifts, because they really get gifts. They really, you know, this is something very special.
Yeah, it's
fun,
you know. And you love me, and you're doing this, but you're giving me something that you know I'm going to hate.
Yeah. or even, you know, I bought this, I really don't care, you can go and do what you like with it. Screw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
That's more their attitude, really. Honestly, I know them.
My son is now 20, and he has an aunt who always gets him sweaters. Now, he's very, very tall.
Mm.
And in the style of most young men now, wears a 2X, and he's built like a pencil, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he wears a 2X. So it's, most of his stuff looks humongous.
Is the head hole bigger than his shoulders?
Almost. Well, no, because he's got broad shoulders. But, you know, it's, the rest of it is just like, so big.
Sweet.
Or, she gets him like little fluffy, like almost booties slippers. Instead of like men's slippers.
Yeah.
She'll buy him ones with like little bunnies on them.
Oh, how lovely.
And makes him wear it.
Inappropriate gifting at its best.
I've got the best picture of my son sitting with him. He won't let me put it on Facebook. You should see his face.
You could post it on here.
I should.
So, inappropriate gifts. What's the most inappropriate gift you've ever received at Christmas?
Oh, one of my aunts gave me a gift certificate to a dating site. After my husband died.
Oh! Oh, God!
Yep, my son, my husband has passed away 3 years, this December, and last December I got a gift certificate to a dated site because apparently I was slacking off and should be having a man. But
there, 3 years, that's far too long. Go on.
Yeah.
Well, on you go.
At the time, she goes, hey, hurry up. You know, this is what people do now. They talk online. I'm like, really? They talk online?
Really?
How about that? So, yeah, that was pretty inappropriate. And I'm looking at it, and everyone was... It was one of those times when everyone's watching you.
One of those awkward moments.
And remember when I read... You read that first line of my reading with my voice?
Uh-huh.
What came out of my mouth? Was also an inappropriate reaction to inappropriate gift.
Oh, poor Trish. That's a faux pas, a family faux pas.
Honey, like, you know, come on. Thank you. That's really thoughtful. You could find a man there. I said, there's a funny thing. If I go outside, I find that there's men walking around, you know, pretty randomly. You can find one of those. Well, why don't you? And then, you know, she wanted to bring it into a discussion in front of my family. Oh, that was bad.
Mm.
And you, what's your worst one?
I'm just trying to think. I don't think it's ever been as, you know, awkwardly inappropriate as that. I'm just trying to think. The last Christmas present. Don't know. They were all bad. there was one time I was given a very expensive Christmas present by a girlfriend, and that I thought that it was inappropriately expensive. There's a thing, right? Okay, somebody.
That's another thing.
You get them like a $40 thing, and they bring you back a $250 thing.
Yes.
What do you do?
What do you do then?
What do you do? I mean...
You lie about how much you spent. Oh, wait, someone wrote in the room, the worst gift a friend of mine got was from her mother-in-law. Well, you know that's going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a pair of tights from a multi-pack. They were dark tan color that no young woman would wear. She took one of the nylons out of it and kept the rest of the girl. And I gifted that. Okay, that's a bad one.
That's a bad one, yeah.
That's a good one. And on, thank you for sharing, and thank you for joining in the fun.
Definitely. Oh.
From multi-pack. I love that.
It's the song. Hey, we've got the song. Tracy, the song. Okay. Here we go. This is it.
Okay.
It's, if you're in Britain, it works. It's, this is my band, Steel Badge, with Midnight Hour.
Wonderful.
So that explains why it was only 2 minutes 22 long. It didn't have an ending. Anyway, so that was my band from the other day. We were playing the Midnight Hour and just so enjoying it. I thought I'd share it with you all. Tracy's she's just gone to get a cup of coffee and sort herself up. It was a very short song. So we were talking about Christmas and we were talking about it's in a minute. Oh, right. We have a question as well. So we were talking about Christmas and gifts and inappropriate things.
I back had a rote in the room. So what did the
Illuminati
get each other for Christmas? Their own totally undetectable mind control sex slave. How do you wrap that?
Well, I'm sure it would easily fold itself up into a little ball and mail itself to you.
It would do as it tells. It would do as it tells.
So, yeah, we've had quite a few MK Ultra people this year on War Spirit Radio. I think, you know, it would be quite good maybe to have a roundup of our... our year's interviews, or, you know, maybe a roundtable in a week or so, and we'll talk about some of the great guests that we've had this year. Maybe get some quotes out of them. That would take a bit of editing. But we've had some really very high-level, very information-rich shows, like a... we've had lots about sound healing from Shari Edwards, and we had her on last night, and I replayed the show earlier on today, so hopefully a lot more people have heard the show. A very important, fantastic show, and it will be on the archive soon, probably later tonight, I think.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and a very well well-produced show. Very well-produced show, I have to say.
Thank you very much. It's all me.
Whatever they give with one hand, they'll take twice as much back with the other. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Very that's good. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Santa. Satan. Right, okay.
Satan.
Satan,
well,
right?
Well, that's why I brought a Satanist on for yeah. the Christmas season.
Tracy, Satan... correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Satan the guy in red who judges whether you've been a good person or a bad person and rewards or punishes you? Or is that Santa?
The guy. And Santa is apparently just an accidental close name to him.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Santa Claus.
Yes.
I saw this... just a little YouTube thing about it, and there was actually, and I can't remember his name, but I think it was Santa, but this was a Viking spirit.
Oh, is
who
that
dressed in red?
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to say Saint Nick, but
Saint
I'm
Nicholas.
Not sure.
Nicholas, yes, yeah, Saint Nicholas, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had Viking helpers, not
mm-hmm.
reindeer,
mm-hmm.
and mostly what was in their sack were small children.
All right, and
they to be sacrificed.
All right, so they're to be fed to the Dracos, eh?
Yeah, who follow on the right and left hand side of Santa.
Mm.
Pretty scary looking thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's do some more Christmas. Let's take some more of the traditions of Christmas. What are the traditions? I mean, there's the different kinds of food. Don't get me started about Brussels sprouts. Okay, you've got me started about Brussels sprouts. Some people really like brassicas.
What is that?
A brassica is the class of vegetable which is cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and, you know, that ilk of the kind of succulent thing. It's, you know, it's got a large, thick body of, you know, water fields. It's a kind of succulent. And the brassicas is this group of vegetables that has this flavor. Now, some people, this flavor, they can't taste it. Or it doesn't react to them. But in other people, there's a very small group of people, well, I don't know how small it is, actually, of brassica sensitives. And those who are sensitive to brassica experience it as an incredibly bitter taste. Right? I'm one of them. And Brussels sprouts are the sort of like concentrated little brassicas. And so I can't eat them. They make me heave. I can't, you know, some people love them. Some people really like them, and they're usually thin. Hmm. Anyway, essentially, these brassicas taste absolutely foul. So every year, without fail, you know, we're served the in Britain, the traditional food is turkey and stuffing and little sausages wrapped in bacon, you know.
Okay.
I think that's they're to represent little baby Jeebus in the swaddling clothes.
Them.
Yeah, little wieners with bacon around them. Yeah.
God.
Anyway. So, and Brussels sprouts. And that's it's the tradition that, you know, that the meal is full of Brussels sprouts and everybody's, oh, I love Brussels sprouts. And they buy these enormous bags, like 3 kilogram bags of Brussels sprouts. And there's this huge bowl, you know, like the size of a fruit bowl, full, heaped with Brussels sprouts. And, you know, there's only one person in the room, and that's the person who did the cooking, who likes them, and everybody else has to just eat them. And so they always put them on my plate. I said, I don't eat Brussels sprouts. You know I don't eat Brussels sprouts. You know I never eat Brussels sprouts. I'll go on. It is Christmas.
It's the time to eat what you don't like.
Yeah.
Matt, as a Hatter, also said choking on a candy cane. Depopulation. That's one. That's definitely one.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, like I was saying about the sugar. You know,
sugar.
I was talking about sugar.
Oh, yes, and all the sweets, whether you have sweets any time of year or not, there's cookies and candies, and, you know, if you can get through those 2 days of nonstop eating without gaining 10 pounds, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And then you're fat, and your cholesterol is off the charts.
And then you die.
You're shaking from... shaking from sugar overload, and then you die. Depopulation.
Depopulation.
And chestnuts.
Chestnuts.
I'm sorry, I know it's a popular thing at Christmas, but those, I just can't even be in the room with them.
Really?
Can't stand them.
They're very variable. Usually in the plate of chestnuts that you get, one of them is just right. And all the rest, some are undercooked, and some are pieces of carbon. And there's one that is just kind of succulent, and it hasn't gone off, and it does look a little bit like a little brain, I have to say.
And I've never gotten that one, ever.
And but I do quite like the taste of chestnuts. I like. Actually, hang on. Let's just go over to the light side. I do like nuts. And Christmas is a great time for nuts. I can spend all afternoon with a nutcracker and, oh yeah, got one. There's a walnut. Trying to get the walnut out whole. You know.
Trying to get the walnut out without cracking your finger.
Yeah.
Population.
ER Christmas.
Yep. Christmas right there. But I do like the nuts. I do like the nuts at Christmas. That's true.
And nuts are good for you.
I usually damage myself at least once with a nutcracker incident. And those little guys, the nutcracker, when they have the little guys that look like soldiers and you have to put it in their mouth and they crush it like a big alien being crushy thing.
Crushing a baby. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Population.
It's bacon.
Another thing. So. Yeah. You'll always remember soldiers and be frightened of them for the rest of your life. You have one incident with those little red things, and that's it.
And they'll eat your... No. So...
Yeah, they'll eat your brains.
So, yeah, so there's got to be more. I mean, what other Christmas traditions are there that we, you know, that people follow unthinkingly, thinking, oh, this has got to have something to do with Jesus.
It all has to do with Jesus.
I haven't found anything yet to do with Jesus. What have we got to do with Jesus? Oh, the nativity scenes.
Nativity scenes.
There's always...
Yes, this. Which is kind of odd, with the three men giving gifts, always there, and Jesus with the lamb and the little swaddling thing. Mm-hmm. But I thought in the Bible said they came like three when he was three.
All right.
So who are those three guys?
Well, maybe they're the tax man, the banker, and the pharmacology company. Xbox for Christmas, Call of Duty game, Train to Kill, Depopulation.
Depopulation.
Good point there, Mad.
They always wait and bring the most violent games.
Yeah.
Always just before Christmas.
Absolutely. Christmas Bloody is a great boring. Time for violence. You know?
Great time for violence. There's an awesome zombie one. Not that I played it much. But I don't feel bad about killing zombies or monsters, really, because they're not real.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Hopefully. Mm. Although, zombies. If you do go into a shopping mall, I have questioned that assumption several times. Thinking, I may be the only human in here.
Starts getting lonely.
Where's my gun? 10 points.
That's it. Anyway. Christmas is dysfunctional family madness. Yeah, this yes. is essentially, we're kind of getting to this point. We're definitely getting to that to the agreement on that. That it's all everything's wrong, you know.
Everything is wrong.
Everything is wrong with Christmas. Somebody has stolen Christmas, but some good things about Christmas. You know, like I said, nuts are really good things about Christmas. Doctor Who.
That's a good.
There's always a new Doctor Who episode for Christmas. And there's always some kind of snow, and it's sometimes real snow, and sometimes it's like ash from a nuclear fallout. It looks like snow. Oh, it's just, oh no.
That's thinking positive. See, we're yeah. going on the light side.
On the light side, yeah. So there's a Doctor Who episode that is always at the wrong time, though. And then the Queen, right? I'm sorry.
What does she do?
3 o'clock. British Greenwich Mean Time, 3 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time, the Queen does this thing every Christmas. It's like your State of the Union
address thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And she goes on about stuff, but it's like I mean, I'm one of these people. If people don't speak the truth, I don't understand what they say. You know. And
yes.
And I could say, could you say that again? And it just doesn't go in. It's like it doesn't resonate. And so if you ask me about any of the Queen's speeches ever, I couldn't remember. Mainly because I either tune away, but my now ex-wife would always sit and watch the Queen's speech. I have no idea why.
Really?
Yeah. Again, it's dysfunctional family things. You know, this is what we did when we were children. Even though this woman has no meaning in a modern world, she's just a CEO of a private corporation. You know, what do I want? What do I care? But she's obsessed by, you know, these little Christmassy things that makes her feel kind of normal.
Like she's doing something, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a real person.
Yeah. And,
and then they go in the back and sacrifice babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Come to Canada, get a couple more native kids. Oh. They used to when they were young.
Yep. There's lots of children that have been disappeared for visits by
their visits. Queen and
Prince Philip. So it's almost like they're out on a shopping trip. I'll have that one, and those four over there.
Those four are lovely. Thank you.
They look succulent. I mean, lovely little children.
Come here, juicy boy.
Yes. Excuse me while I mop up my saliva. Oh, no. I mean, yes. She looks like a little old lady, a sweet little old lady in a funny hat.
Yeah,
but wait till she turns.
Hat? What's with the little pointed hat that Santa wears?
Oh, Santa.
Now, I have to admit, I've worn a little pointy hat.
Mm-hmm. They're quite warm.
They are warm.
They do keep your brains cozy, especially if you're
an
old bald man.
Well,
you need a hat. The little bar humbug hat that my ex-wife bought me.
Oh, no.
She bought me a hat one Christmas. Here you go, you grumpy old git. It's a hat that actually has written on it, bar humbug. Put it on now. Go on, put it on. Put it on. Let's humiliate you. Family humiliations. I mean, I don't know. In America, I've heard that it's Thanksgiving time that young women usually go home to tell their parents that they've come out of the closet and they're lesbian. And I think that it's the British tradition to do that at Christmas. I'm not sure what young people do in Canada now when they come out screaming.
You know, family gatherings are usually the place you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone hears at once.
Yep. That's the announcement. Either, Mum, I'm getting married, or, Mum, I'd like you to meet my girlfriend tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm. Remember when I said I was bringing a friend tomorrow?
Yes, that's right. Yes, she's not just a friend. So, yeah, there's all of that. There's all of that.
Yeah, and there's always something with a family. Now, I have to admit that I'm pretty lucky on that. My family's still really nice, and we do have fun Christmas Eve. Mm. That's when we do our big thing. And Christmas Day, the food's always great because we have a lot of cooks.
Mm-hmm.
But myself, I have always dreaded it.
As a mother?
In general.
As a mother as an adult?
Well, as a mother, I liked it. When my son was really young and I was still lying to him about Santa, and that's what I was doing.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Let's go. We'll explore that in a minute, all the lies. Go on. Yeah, go on.
Oh, yeah. And I did it mostly because when my family were saying, yes, Santa gave you that. And I wasn't going to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was overwhelmed with everyone gave him stuff from Santa when he was 5 because I was not mentioning it. It was like a conspiracy in my family where they all turned against me.
And this, it's like the innocence and there is this thing, right? Okay, let's just dissect this thing, right? Okay, so we tell children about Santa and this about the Easter Bunny and.
Like, yes.
Where did baby Jeebus come from, and you know, yes. How come he dies in December? And no, he's born in December and dies 3 or 4 months later. That doesn't seem very much of a life.
Yeah.
We're also here in the middle of Christmas, and he was born in the Middle East. Right, where there is no snow.
But he has sandy hair.
Uh-huh.
And green eyes.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. I kind of questioned that even as a child, really.
He sounds like a Scotsman to me.
Yeah. So where was he from? Where was the snow? Are we sure we're talking about the right guy?
That's right. So, all right, so in the Middle East, you know, it's everybody's got dark skin and black hair.
And well, except for this one tribe, apparently.
Uh-huh.
The green-eyed blonde.
Mm-hmm. That they have, and then there's, you know, the what's with the inn? What's with the no room at the inn thing? You have an idea about that? Is that part of any of the other traditions in, like the Mithras tradition or Osiris or anything like that?
Well, yes. And I'm looking that up because I think there was something like that with Osiris, and there was something like that with Buddha, I think, who was supposed to be born on the side of the road. His mom didn't make it in time.
Mm. So is it... maybe
there's a lot of traditions, I think, that were kind of thrown into one because, yeah. You know, what I usually say, and I still think it's true that people in general have never really bought the there's only one God thing because we all have always seen the spirits in beings around us, be them trees or plants, or animals, or whatever. And it was like the one God thing was given us so that we would finally listen to one guy who was supposed to be a representative of that one God.
Hmm.
And that we'd all have to listen to him. Whereas we could have just before gone out and talked to the plants and asked them to grow.
Hmm. And spoken to the sun.
Different if you have to, you know, pray or pay penance and all this stuff about sin and everything. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And where does the sin come in? You know, Is it sometime between sometime between Christmas and Easter?
Canada.
Try again. You said
yeah.
You got cut off.
Oh, sorry. Do you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, SIN in Canada is a short form for your social insurance number.
All right. So you're all born in SIN.
I was born in SIN.
That's a sick joke.
And in order to get a
someone.
Job, yeah. you need SIN.
So you're all Canadians are sinners. SIN.
All of us.
All of you.
Yeah. So, you know, Christmas and something that used to be called Saturnella looks like it was just completely adopted by Christians, and I can't see any reason why. Because I think the Bible says that Christians should not be celebrating birthdays. So why are we celebrating this one?
Mm. So, if we were to strip it down, it would be nice to get together and have a nice big meal with our friends.
Which is nice.
Which is nice. Not necessarily our family, or maybe our spirit family, our, you know, our friends who are people that we like. I think people who like each other should gather, not people who don't like each other. That's silly.
Yeah.
And that we could enjoy a good meal, and everybody would eat the appropriate food that they liked, and maybe have an appropriate gift given to them. Let's create some new ideas and new traditions, because according to what Stuart Swerdlow, one of our co-hosts, is saying, that there is a big move to destroy religion that it will be happening in the next year, and part of the priests and paedophilia thing is part of that agenda, is to actually destroy people's faith in these authorities so that a new authority can be brought in. And so, this may, you never know, this may be the last ever Christmas as we know it, which may be only have been going on for about 50, 60 years anyway.
I'm just not sure. I found an old reference to the Christmas tree. Now, there was an old Babylonian tale that talked about an evergreen tree that sprang out of a dead street. Tree stump. And this was supposed to symbolize the dead Nimrod, and the new evergreens tree is him coming to life again. So the Druids thought the oak was sacred, and the Egyptians thought the palm, the Romans it was the fir, but they were all decorated with red berries during the time of Saturnella. So that's probably, now we use little red berries on the tree sometimes.
Yes.
Cranberries.
Oh, yes, cranberries. And
so
mistletoe.
So that's where that's from. And mistletoe.
Yes. Oh, yes, and that's something that Mad mentioned before, you know, as another Christmas hazard is catching some disease from somebody who insists on kissing you under the mistletoe.
Or you accidentally eat the mistletoe, which is poisonous.
That's, yeah. Why is there...
Depopulation.
Yeah, depopulation. Kiss my mistletoes. So we have there the deconstruction of our little season here. And then there's... I mean, what's been ridiculous in the last couple of years is this whole... imposing it on other people is an insult, and all of that. I think there is a lot of propaganda that is being put out and misinformation about how people of other religions, let's put it that way, feel, and it's just a matter of moderation, of not imposing everything. If you want to have coloured lights in your window, then have coloured lights in your window, and I don't mind if you have a menorah in your window, which is the little Jewish symbol, and the Hanukkah, which is the seven branch candlestick, or if you have whatever you have for your Festival of Lights, and everybody's got a Festival of Lights around this time of year. So let's just say it's the season of lights, maybe.
A season of lights would be nice, and you know, you did bring up a good point that there was no such thing called Christianity when Jesus was born, so you'd expect to see more Jewish things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around him.
Mm.
But you don't see any.
No, not many. Eh? What else is that? What is Jewish around?
At all.
Yeah.
I can't think of one thing. When you mentioned the candles, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Why don't we have those?
Mm.
Where's that? Where's that image?
Yeah. The Jewish festival.
About that guy.
The Jewish festival around this time of year is to do with the miracle of it actually happened during a siege, and that they were unable to get more olive oil to run the eternal flame, but the oil that was in there they managed to eke out. I don't know what they probably mixed it with camel fat or something, but they managed to eke it out and make the flame last for an extra 7 or 8 days. And so they celebrate 8 days of candlelights. So it's a kind of very small purport for a festival, really.
Isn't it, do they have 14 days that they give each other presents?
No, it's 8 days.
Because my son had told me when he was 12 that he was becoming Jewish because of that.
Yes, every day you light another, an extra candle. So the first day you light one, and the second day you light two. And so you've got this 9-branched candlestick, which is called a Chanukiah, for the festival of Chanukah, which means Chanu, candle,
mm-hmm.
Chanu, or lights. So yes, it's the festival of lights. And good question. We'll go in that in a minute.
I saw that one.
Yeah, festival of lights. And is there an Islamic festival of lights? Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it was called Eid. EID.
I think so. I think so.
I don't know if anyone in the chat room knows about that, or I'm just talking off the top of my bald head. So, meanwhile, talking of shiny, bright, shining star at the top of the Christmas tree. No.
No.
Aldebaran.
Oh.
Aldebaran. This is according to, I think this is William Henry.
Okay.
And somebody else whose name leaves my mind. But anyway, Aldebaran. Is if you look up at the sky and you see Orion, and then you see the Pleiades, between Orion and the Pleiades is something like 33 degrees.
Interesting.
Or is it that it's 33 degrees between Orion and Aldebaran? And Aldebaran, Al means the, Debran, I think is derived from where Ra lives, Debra. So the bright shining star is the star that is supposed to be. And you see it in lots of these ancient pictures, and you see people looking up, and they're seeing a star that's got this beam that's coming down to Earth. And the Christmas tree is supposed to represent that beam. So if you then stand back at your Christmas tree, look at the top of the tree, and it's like a path in perspective. Yeah. So So it's that your tree forms a path between you and the bright shining star. And it's probably got something to do with a certain alignment between us and Aldebaran. And perhaps it's the path that the gods came down, because Ra, this fellow Ra, who was that? Was that Marduk? He was the one who was supposed to come from Aldebaran. And it's probably a festival for Ra. And the Washington Monument is connected with this as well in some way. So it's all about the bright shining star with a beam a ray that comes from it down to Earth that they travel down on. You heard about
that? It's so interesting. Yeah, I have. I have before. And the more I look at the traditions, it really looks like most people who call themselves Christians are actually worshiping Nimrod and his mother Semiramis, you know, with the tree again, Saturn, Moloch, and Baal. Most of these Christmas traditions, even the wreath, is more to do with that than anything I could pull from anything that people of that time would have celebrated.
I'm going to have fun with my ex-wife, I tell you. I'm going to go around her place and say, lift up the wreath, say, what's this about? I thought the Christmas was about birth, not death.
Yeah.
So,
and the Yule log, there's another one we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that makes sense of having a winter log, a really big piece of wood that will take a long time to burn, so you don't have to go out back into the snow to get more wood.
It's cold. That's true.
Yeah, so that's what I think the Yule log is about. Why it's spray silver, I don't know.
Well, it's actually Yule means wheel.
All right, not
and
Yule.
It's supposed to represent the sun.
Not Yule do what I say.
No, but you know, probably goes.
Or Yule Brynner.
Just going in that line. You'll do as I tell you.
So, yeah.
Mistletoe is a parasite, you know, so trying to kill us.
So, yes. So, the star at the top of the tree is the bright shining star of Aldebaran. And as I said, it's the kind of reddish star that if you look up into the winter sky, in the Northern Hemisphere, in winter, we finally get to see Sirius rising.
Yes.
And right where we are, 57 degrees north, Sirius doesn't rise that much. It gets, you know, actually, it gets about as high as the sun does, which is not very high in winter, which is why it's quite cold here. We have Aldebaran, which rises quite high into the zenith about this time of year. And it's often, you know, aside from Jupiter, which of course is very much brighter than any other star, Jupiter's being a planet and being quite bright anyway. That's the one that you're seeing around the moon. Whenever you look up and there's the moon and there's a bright shining object, that's Jupiter. It seems to be lighter at the moment. Apparently it's lost one of its dark rings, so it's actually reflecting a lot more light. And so within the constellations, between the constellation of Orion and this tiny little cluster called the Pleiades, there's this star which is very bright and very large, and it's the place where Ra is supposed to come from. Eggnog.
And if you cook it too long, it turns into a custard. I've done that.
Yeah, actually,
trying to make eggnog homemade and left it on stove too long.
I've heard about
eggnog.
Nice
custard next day.
I've heard about eggnog, but I've being British, we don't have eggnog here. There is something called avocat, but I don't know if that's the same thing. So, how do you make eggnog? Just let's have a quick recipe moment. What's eggnog?
Milk, cream, sugar. It's pretty simple, pretty plain, some spices. You cook it over the stove, but you're supposed to do it just to heat it up. I cooked it too long and made a custard.
All right, so is there egg in it?
There is egg in it, whipped up, raw.
Raw, yeah.
So, depopulation.
Depopulation,
absolutely,
yeah.
Right, Heather. If you're eating a fresh one, it's got raw egg in it, could have a...
Just slightly warmed up raw egg.
Yep.
Even salmonella. Better.
Yummy.
What is that other one? Is it listeria that they get from eggs? Yeah. But yeah.
Here in Canada, you get listeria from pretty much friggin' everything.
All right.
Yummy. And this time of year, anything we're getting has been trucked in for 2 weeks, so who knows what's in that truck.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's labeled organic. I mean, it's that truck, it's done.
So, yeah. So, what other... Let's see if we can find any more depopulation things that... I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Even that depressing film about the man who's committing suicide.
The one that they always play at Christmas.
Yeah, why do they do that?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
He's committing suicide.
Yeah.
Every time a bell rings, it's an angel doing something. Who knows what?
Messing you up.
Sing it to Samirius. Well, distracting you while you're driving, so depopulation.
Yep, definitely. And then there's all these bloody songs. The Christmas number one.
The Christmas number one. Where's that one that Bing Crosby always sings? The child beater.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Is that his song?
White Christmas. I bet he is, and he was the most prejudiced man pretty much ever born on this planet. So I bet he was. That's definitely depopulation because he was really, really mean in that song. Dreaming of a white Christmas.
That's right.
Where there's no brown people at all.
That's right. It's not only depopulation. It's about genocide.
Genocide. It's the genocide song of the season. Okay, another one.
Oh, we could have a grumpy old Christmas. Let's have ourselves a grumpy old Christmas.
Bar humbug.
Yeah, bar humbug. Eat humbugs. Humbugs are quite nice, actually. Yeah. Back to sugary food.
That's actually one of the things. We have to do a good thing on Christmas, and I make humbugs. Wow. And they're yummy. There are yumminess at Christmas that we don't indulge in the rest of the time of the year, which sometimes I've wondered if I should just eat desserts.
Mm. Now we're on to dessert. Now we're talking. Because
yeah, now we're talking.
With all these things. With all these things.
Real butter in it. I want something without fake butter, fake sugar, fake non-fat yuckiness.
Yeah.
At Christmas, you make full-fat cookies.
Absolutely. Now, in Britain, we have a thing called Christmas pudding. Do you have Christmas pudding in Canada and America?
We have Christmas puddings, yeah, and we still make them, and they're still soaking in brandy or something right now.
Well, yeah, there's the brandy and the Christmas pudding. There's also the Christmas cake, which is like a dense fruit cake.
But
then,
yes.
So this is plum pudding, which is steamed. Do you have that?
Yes, steamed, and then there's like a rum topping.
Brandy butter. Brandy butter or brandy cream.
Yes.
And then you set fire to the little thing.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. You see, that.
That is an awesomeness.
That is an awesome Christmas. And I'm sure it's nothing to do with Jeebus.
And I don't know who was thinking of that, but that was a good add-in. Yeah.
Damn fine. I think it's probably because the plums are like an autumn season thing, fall thing, that it's probably like a preserve that people used to, you know, put a bit of alcohol in and keep it preserved for the winter feast.
Yeah.
But I do love it.
That was a good thinking thing. Yes. That rocked.
Yes.
That rocks. There's some desserts you only have at Christmas. And that's yummy.
Profits of rolls. Oh. Non-profits of rolls.
What kind of rolls?
Profiteroles and non-profiteroles. Sorry.
Oh.
Yes, desserts. You see, now most people by this time actually can't eat anymore, and you have the cheese board and you have the port and the brandy and all that stuff.
Yes.
And
the food really never stops.
That's
because,
right.
You know, we're part Italian too, so the table's never empty.
There's always
the
a new
you walk in.
Yeah.
And then you just clean it off and put munchies in case you're hungry after the meal you just ate for that's 3 hours.
Right. Yeah, sometimes all this eating makes you hungry.
Yeah.
We have another list. Hang on, what we got? Sherry trifle, Christmas pudding, cake, chocolate rum and raisin cheesecake. Oh my God! Oh, chocolate rum and raisin cheesecake. You must be from the West Coast.
Nice. That's nice.
An on 4566 must be from California. Chocolate rum and raisin cheesecake. My God.
My husband used to make that, and that was one of his special gifts. That man could make desserts like nobody's business, and he made cheesecakes that were awesome.
Wow.
Especially when he was upset. So sometimes I would piss him off on purpose. So he'd go cook until he realized I was doing that. He's like, Trace! But you've eaten so much that your stomach goes into overload, and then you get the sugar rush.
Yeah.
Need to be rushed to the hospital.
That's right.
You know, population.
Or all of this sugar makes your body really acidic, and then your ulcers go off. And then,
but you don't notice it right away because the alcohol. Too.
That's right. Then you have a Gaviscon weekend. So, E&R Christmases.
E&R Christmases.
That's what we
Christmas we're celebrating today.
That's right. So, I'd like to thank you for joining me on this humorous little season, because it is Christmas.
Because it is Christmas.
I don't think in my music collection I have one Christmas song, because I'm such a grumpy old man that I don't do that.
Sing a song.
It's Catherine. All right.
Oh, it's Catherine. Okay.
So let me see. Where else have we got? I'm trying to find some music that has anything to do with music, with Christmas, and it's very unlikely to find anything.
I've got nothing.
Huh? Right, hang on a second.
I've got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nothing.
All right, so what are we on? No.
Other than the little white depopulation genocide Christmas that I sang, that's it. Rudolph,
mm-hmm.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, who, you know, how many reindeer do they get in Jerusalem, you think?
That's right, yeah, exactly.
Bethlehem.
Now we're talking, yeah. Reindeer and Bethlehem. Hmm. In fact, Bethlehem and any of the Christmas traditions, none of them. A lot of them, I'll tell you the people who are really serious about Christmas, and I know because I have quite a few friends who come from this country, is Germany. In Germany, they really go to town on Christmas, and they do Christmas sweets and all sorts of Christmas fancies and unusual things, and it's all got this red foil. I think they have their fellow there, St. Nicholas. He was there. He's like St. Yep. St. Nicholas is a kind of German fellow. But, yes, I'm just looking. I don't have anything to do with Christmas at all. No. no music to do with Christmas at all. Let's see. Nope. Nothing. What's in the rock? No. Well, there's only John Lennon. I don't think I've got that for Christmas. I've only got Wild Pine Guitar Generates. Right. Okay, though. That's not going to do it. So I have no Christmas music to play us out with. So you may all breathe a sigh of relief that there will be no Christmas music on Wolf Spirit Radio. We will play our normal stuff, our rock and roll, our blues, Tracy's mum and dad, who are amazing, and nice tunes by people who make music in a nice key. All that. Right, that's a good song. Free Spirit. Right, I'm gonna play out with Free Spirit because that's a cool little tune. And how did I get there? Oops. So I'm trying to. I have these four screens on Ubuntu, and some things are on some screens and some things are on the other. Right. Okay, so now I need to drag this right over. No, I can't do that. How do you do this? excuse me. There we go. No, that's not that. There. No. dear. Maybe in the next one. All right. People don't quite understand what's happening here because I'm trying to drag. I've got four screens and I'm trying to drag one to the other. There we go. I think I've done it now. So there we go. This is the song lined up. This song is called Free Spirit by Hill Street Soul. And it's just a lovely, inspiring little tune to play everybody out with. So let's hope nobody in this chat room or who's listening to this podcast will have an A&E Christmas or an ER Christmas. Let's hope all your family get on harmoniously. Let's hope nobody injures themselves in any of these depopulation moves that they've disguised as traditions. Tracy Kennedy, thank you very much. It's been a great, fun afternoon.
Thank you so much, JP.
And we're going to play out with Hill Street Soul and Free Spirit.
In the morning when I rise up, I'm responsible for myself. Start my day as I mean to go, making peace with me and my world. Set my own rules, laws, and regulations, and my own philosophy. Won't let nobody cloud my judgment or infiltrate my dreams, 'cause I'm a free. If life is sour, make it sweeter again. Money is tight, find other means to make it. Wheeling, dealing, moving, shaking, hustling, taking care of business. Won't be tied down or held to ransom. Rather be free than to survive on welfare.
My spirit's free.
thanks for all tuning in. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Stay tuned. In just over an hour's time, we'll have Ms. Muggsy with some psychic readings.